Hey guys, my name is Eden Richardson and I'm the Discipleship Director here at First Baptist Rock Hill. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message from our pastor. We are so excited for what God's going to teach you through His Word today. Be sure to also like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we can't wait to see what God does in your life through this message.
Happy New Year! Well, before we get to the New Year, how was Christmas? Did you have a good time? Ours was a little different. We had planned to be in Lexington outside Columbia with our son the week before Christmas, but they were all sick, so we didn't get to go and rescheduled. And then Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Monisa was sick. And so it was different. But this past Wednesday, we did get up that morning and drove down to be with Stephen and his family. And you know, we get out of the car, and taking her luggage and walking up to the house to go inside and open the front door, and here's the little ones. And here's David. How old is David? Five. And he's got his Transformers, and there's Audrey, the redhead, the stereotypical redhead who's three, and she's got a new doll, and we can't even get it in the house with our luggage. And they're, look at this, come and play with this, come and see this, look what I got for, you know. And they were just so excited. Eventually, we did get into the house and enjoyed spending time with them, and I hope you had a great Christmas as well. But it got me thinking as I was getting ready this morning, what would it be like? I mean, can you just imagine what things would be like if you and I, as followers of Jesus, had just a teeny tiny bit of that excitement about Jesus our grandkids had that morning for those new toys? I mean, there are moments in my life when I have excitement about Jesus. And honestly, there are some moments when not as much. Can I get a witness from anybody in the room? But can you imagine how different things would be if we more consistently had some excitement about who Jesus is, what He's done for us, and what He means to us? The truth is, even though this is New Year Sunday and you know we're doing one service instead of three and a lot of people are traveling, it's a good crowd, so glad you're here. But if we throughout the year had that kind of excitement about Jesus, even on New Year's weekend, we probably have to have three or four of these services to get everybody in, because we'd be talking about Him a whole lot more. We would be inviting people to worship Him a whole lot more. And in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you read the accounts of Jesus and His life and His ministry, there was so much excitement. There were so many people talking about Jesus that it ended up changing the world. And here we are 2,000 years later, and all over the world today, all over this planet, there are people talking about Jesus because of what started then. So we're going to look in the Gospels, and I'm going to share just a bunch of stories from the Gospels. Stories from the life of Jesus, His experiences, to teach us, inspire us, help us, because God wants to use us. So I invite you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. I often say this is my favorite gospel. It's a man's gospel because it has fewer words than the other gospels. And it's more action oriented. I love the Gospel of Mark. He just gets to the point. No wasted words. And there's several things I want you to see as we kind of walk through these stories from the Gospels about Jesus. And here's the first thing I want you to see. Jesus drew massive crowds everywhere He went. Jesus grew massive crowds everywhere He went. Mark chapter 3, look with me at verse 20. Let me see your copy of God's Word. You got it with you today? Always bring the Bible with you, whether it's printed or electronic, bring it with you on Sundays. Mark chapter 3, look at verse 20. He came home. This is Capernaum, not Nazareth, where he grew up. Capernaum would become Jesus' home base for his ministry. And so he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent they could not even eat a meal. I mean, there were so many people coming to see Jesus when he got home. He didn't have time to sit down and eat a fried bologna sandwich. I mean, it was just busy, busy. Luke describes another scene this way in chapter 12, verse 1. Luke chapter 12, verse 1, he says, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another. They were stepping. Now, I remember when I was younger, I guess this was back in the 70s or so, the rock and roll concert in the stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio, when people died because there were so many people there, they were walking on top of one another. If you go to a football game at one of our big stadiums, getting out to your car, and then sometimes getting out of the parking lot to get away. I mean, people just stepping on top of one another. Those of you in the room who are older and remember Elvis Presley, he was so popular he couldn't go out. And so he would rent movie theaters in the middle of the night so he and those with him could go and watch a movie at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, some of that was just because he was kind of messed up, but, and he really was. He really was. He would rent in the middle of the night a department store, a mall, so he could go shopping because he was just so popular. He could not go anywhere. And even today, there are very, very famous people, popular people. They have to have bodyguards. They legitimately need bodyguards. Now, go back 2,000 years ago when there wasn't social media and there wasn't television, and Jesus drew crowds of thousands, and they were stepping on one another. No time to eat. There was this one occasion when Jesus is in a house teaching, and the whole house is filled with people, and then outside there are people, and you can't even get close to the entrance, to the door of the house. These four men have a friend who's paralyzed, and they're carrying him on a stretcher, and there's just no way to get their friend into Jesus because they want Jesus to heal him. So they go around to the side or the back of the house and make their way up on the roof. And most of those houses had flat roofs or slightly sloped roofs and steps that would go up there because it was kind of like a patio for them. And so they go up on top of the house and they maneuver over the very place where Jesus is in the house teaching, and they dig a hole in the roof and they slowly let their friend down so that he's on the floor at the feet of Jesus. And their friend is forgiven of his sins. He meets Jesus and he's healed and able to walk. But going to that kind of extreme just illustrates the popularity of Jesus, how massive the crowds were. Some of you, when you were little, learned that song about Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he, or Zac? I never learned it. Something like that. Anybody know how it goes? Sort of like that, right? Zacchaeus was a tax collector, which meant he was raising taxes from the Jewish people for the Romans, so he wasn't very popular. And Jesus was coming by, and he wanted to see him, but crowd was so big he couldn't, and he's a short guy anyway. And so Zacchaeus gets this idea, and he runs ahead in the direction Jesus is going, and he runs ahead and climbs up a tree so when Jesus gets there, he can see him. And Jesus notices him, calls him down out of the tree, and they have a conversation, and Jesus goes to his house, and Zacchaeus becomes a follower of Christ. I mean, just those two simple stories to illustrate the massive popularity of Jesus, the crowds that were always surrounding him. Well, how do you think those crowds got there? People were talking. It wasn't because of any television program or commercials. People were talking. And this buzz, and so massive crowds. So Jesus drew massive crowds. But the second thing is everyone was always talking about Jesus. Now, sometimes they had negative things to say, but most of the time they had positive things to say, but they were always talking about Jesus. Back in Mark chapter 3, look at verses 7 and following, 7 and 8. Jesus, it says that he withdrew to the sea with his disciples. This is the Sea of Galilee. And a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, two different countries, Galilee in the north, Judea in the south, Samaria's in between, and from Jerusalem, which is the capital of Judea, from Idumea and beyond the Jordan. That's over, today think of that as modern Jordan, and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon, that would be modern Lebanon to the north and the west. A great number of people heard. Look at that word. Underscore that in your Bible. They heard of all that he was doing, and they came to see him. So you have, just in that one verse, people from four different nations coming to see Jesus, to listen to Jesus. Why? Because they heard about him. They heard about him. In Matthew, we're told that in chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, the news about Jesus spread through Syria. There's a fifth nation. And they were bringing people to Jesus. And in verse 25, large crowds followed him from Galilee, Decapolis. Decapolis would be east of the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee, again in northern Jordan today. Judea. Here's the point I want you to get. Here's these massive crowds coming to Jesus from, now we've seen at least five nations with no internet, no social media, no news broadcast. All of it because they heard about Jesus. How did they hear about him? People were talking. Everyone was talking about Jesus. One day, Jesus was walking with his disciples, and there was a large crowd following him because that's just how it typically was. And he was approaching a small town, and he saw, exiting from that small town, a funeral procession. Jesus, with the crowd following him, walks up to this funeral procession, and he learns that there's a man who had died, and they would have the body wrapped, but they would carry him out on what we would think of like a stretcher or a pallet to burial. And they typically didn't bury inside the cities. And the family's there and friends are there and they're weeping. And he learns that this man who had died was the only son of a widow. And widows were dependent on their sons for their livelihood. And here's this widow, her only son, she doesn't have a husband, her only son is dead, and Jesus has compassion on her, and he gives her son back to her. He raises her from the dead. And the Bible in that passage says the report, the news concerning him, concerning Jesus, went out all over Judea and in all the surrounding district. In other words, when Jesus did things, people talked. And it's like somebody throws a rock in a pond and there's all these ripples and it just kept growing. It kept expanding. This one told that one and that one told that one and that one told another one. On and on. It's just these ripples, this constant talking about Jesus. These crowds are hearing about Jesus, and even King Herod, the king who had John the Baptist beheaded, the king who would later be part of Jesus' trial, heard about Jesus and wanted to meet Jesus and talk to him. That's the reason he was excited when Pilate sent Jesus over to him during the trial. How much is Jesus talked about in our homes, in your home? Is Jesus' name even mentioned when there's a family gathering? Does anybody in the circles where we live and go, do they ever hear his name? Do we ever talk about what he's doing for us? Blessings. You say, well, he's never raised anybody in my family from the dead, but most of us in this room have people he's healed. We tell anybody? We pray for people to be well all the time. When Jesus answers those prayers, do we ever tell anybody? Talking with the woman baptized this morning, she's so excited because who she is now is new. Are we excited that we're new because of Jesus? Is there any buzz, anybody talking about it in our circles? A third thing that jumps out at me is I read, because what I did in getting ready for this, I just went back and read the four Gospels a couple of times and just noted what it said. And a third thing that jumped out at me is that people started coming to Jesus because they heard about Jesus. So you have these massive crowds. Why? Because people are talking. And so, yeah, people were coming to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, to be healed by Jesus because they were hearing about him. There's this Roman soldier in the Gospels. Roman soldier, he's a centurion, means he's over 100 soldiers. And this one apparently had some resources, some money. And he was kind and generous to the Jewish people. He actually, out of his own pocket, paid to build them a synagogue in this small town. This Roman soldier also had servants and slaves, and he had this one slave that he was fond of who was sick near the point of death. And the centurion heard that Jesus, he'd heard about Jesus, and then he heard that Jesus was nearby, and he asked the elders or the leaders of that Jewish synagogue if they would go to Jesus on his behalf and ask him to come to his house and heal his servant, heal his slave. And they did so. And while Jesus was on his way to his house, the slave died. But Jesus raised him from the dead. And all of that happened because this Roman soldier, this Gentile, heard about Jesus. And the only way he could hear about Jesus is somebody was talking about Jesus. There's other stories. One of the stories that moves me the most, this woman who had for 12 years a bleeding issue, a hemorrhage. She we don't know exactly. She had, you know, we would, you know, say a female problem, and she was in pain. And she'd gone to doctor after doctor and spent all of her money trying to get doctors to help her, and they just made things worse. You can imagine that in that day and time. And in their culture, her having that bleeding issue would make her religiously, ceremonially unclean, and she wouldn't be allowed to even worship in the temple. Now think about that. And Jesus is coming by, and she hears about Jesus, and she's thinking to herself, if I can just reach up, get close enough to touch his coat, his cloak, I'll be healed. And this frail woman who's been in pain for 12 years pushes her way through that crowd and falls down, just reaches out and barely touches Jesus' cloak, and she's immediately healed. Now the story goes on, she and Jesus had a conversation and he blessed her. But what the scripture tells us is that she came to Jesus because she heard that he was in town. She heard that he was in town. The only way she heard is people were talking. And this woman who'd been in pain for 12 years, desperate. Her life was changed because she heard and she came and she heard because somebody was doing some talking. Do we talk enough that anybody ever comes to us and ask us anything about Jesus or about church? Do they even know to come to us and talk or ask about Jesus or ask about church? Do we talk enough that they even would have an inkling of a reason to ever come and ask us? Fourth thing, as I read through the Gospels, the people who came to Jesus and met Jesus, had experiences with Jesus, you know what they did? They went out and told others about Jesus. That this is where I could have started the message. I'm doing it backwards, you kind of inverted. Those who came to Jesus because they heard about Jesus, had experiences with Jesus, they went out and told other people about Jesus. And there's that pebble in the pond and this ripple, this constant ripple. They met Jesus because they heard about Jesus. Then they went out and told others, which meant other people could hear about Jesus and other people could come and meet Jesus. You're in Mark's gospel. Turn a few pages over to John's gospel, if you will, chapter 1. Mark, Luke, John. Mark, Luke, John in your Bible. And near the end of chapter 1, when Jesus is beginning his public ministry, and in verse 40, Jesus has been talking to some people, disciples of John the Baptist and so on. And he says in verse 40 that one of the two who heard John speak about Jesus and had followed him, were disciples of John, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found first his own brother, Simon Peter, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah, Jesus." So here's the point. Andrew is following John the Baptist. John the Baptist tells him about Jesus. He meets Jesus. And what does he do? He goes and gets his brother Peter and says, "I've met Jesus. I've met the Messiah. Come and meet him." And on down in chapter 1 of John in verse 43, the next day, so the day after what we just talked about, Jesus, he proposed to go into Galilee and he found Philip. And then he and Philip have a conversation. And then in verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law in the Old Testament and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." We found the Messiah. So Jesus meets Nathanael. And what does Nathanael do? He goes out and, or Philip rather, and he goes out. Do you see the pattern? There's all these crowds. Because they were hearing about Jesus. They were hearing because people were talking about him. And then everybody who met Jesus went out and told others about him. And then more came to him because of that. There's this very short, beautiful story in the Gospels. Jesus was at a house and there was a crowd as always. And there were two blind men there. Not one, there were two. And they probably had people helping them. We're not told, we don't know, but probably. These two blind men. And they somehow managed to get close to Jesus. And Jesus reached out and touched their eyes and gave them sight. And the Bible says that they, these two blind men who now see, went out and spread the news about him, about Jesus, throughout the land. You have in your Bible the Gospel of Matthew, the first of the four Gospels. His other name is Levi. Before Levi became a follower of Jesus, he was a hated tax collector working for the Romans who had conquered the Jewish people. And Jesus and Levi had been having ongoing conversations, and one day Jesus just stops at the place where Levi worked and said, "Are you ready to follow me?" Now that's my paraphrase, okay? That's how, you know, the mountains of Kentucky would say, "You ready, boy?" Jesus said, "Follow me." And Levi left his job, became a new man, started following Jesus. And the first thing he did was he threw a party. The Bible says a big reception for Jesus, so he could introduce Jesus to the people he knew. Here's how the Bible says it. Levi gave a big reception for him, for Jesus, in his house, and there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people. And other people. On and on I could go with stories like that. You know, it's fun. One of the things I like about Instagram is seeing the pictures of things going on in people's lives. I'm not on Facebook. I know a lot of you do that, but I see a lot of these. And, you know, a couple gets engaged. And, you know, when Moniz and I were engaged, you know, the way you did it back in the dark ages, if you did anything at all, we went to a photographer's studio and had an engagement photograph made. Now you hire a photographer before you pop the question and give the ring, and some of them even have mom and dad there, and, you know, get on the knees and ask her. And you got the ring, you got the photographer there, the videographer there, and then all those pictures. And I love seeing that. I love seeing those pictures. We want everybody to know, and so we put it out on Facebook, we put it on Instagram, we put it on other media platforms. And I know when we were pregnant with our first child, we just said, hey, mom and dad, she's pregnant. You know, back in the dark ages, that's what you did. We didn't have a timeline. We just, yep, she's pregnant. We didn't wait 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. She's pregnant. Today, everything's planned. It's different, right? And you have these reveal parties. And you know what I've learned about today's culture? Any excuse for a party, we're going to do it. And I love seeing the pictures of these things. And so, you know, and blue and pink, and I always have to ask her to remind me which one's for which, you know. Is it a boy or a girl? Because I don't know why I have a hard time keeping that straight. Blues, boys? Okay. All right. But these pictures, and I'm not criticizing. I think this is great. I love seeing these pictures. And we put it all out on Facebook and this. But here's my question. Okay, in all seriousness, here's my question. If I were to go through everything you've put on Instagram for the last year, would there be anything that would indicate to me you know anything about Jesus or God? Would there be anything that says you go to church? Would there be anything that says you ever read God's word? That you celebrate something? You see, in today's culture, now hear me, and some of you older ones may not quite get this, but listen to me. We communicate today in this world, in this society, through social media. Anything we're excited about, anything we want other people to know, we put it on social media. Are you ever excited enough about anything God does at church or does in your life to put it on social media? I tell you what, a lot of people put a lot of criticisms and negative stuff on social media, put a lot of political stuff on social media. What about Jesus? What about the church? And what about the way Jesus has blessed us? I mean, I put all kinds of things on social media. If I go to a ball game, I'll put that on there. If we have a party, I'll put that on there. But I put pictures of what God does here on Sundays on there sometimes too. That's part of our witnessing, folks. And you see, if we won't even do that, we probably struggle to open our mouth and say any words out in the community about Jesus. Because, one of the things about social media is it's easy because you can almost do some things anonymously. It's not face-to-face. if we're too afraid to put even a post about going to church on social media, is it surprising we're timid when it comes to being out in the community and inviting someone to church, that we're timid when it comes to sharing the gospel? Sunday mornings, we love each other, we fellowship, we talk about everything. We talk about ball games. I've had several comments about ball games this morning. Do we ever talk to each other about anything God did that week? I mean, this is the safest place we will ever have to talk about him. And if we can't have a buzz from talking about Jesus on Sundays in his house, it's going to be so much harder for us to ever create a buzz in the community because we're talking about Jesus. See, this can be a place where we get comfortable saying his name. Saying his name. Now, these banners and here on the screen, that's our theme this coming year. Go back to the big picture. Go back to the big one of it, guys. The one that was just before this. Go back one. There you go. Just leave that up. Leave that up. That's our theme. So the people we read about in the Gospels, they believe that. There are moments, I think we believe that and we act like it, but there are other, I think we always believe that Jesus is really good, but I don't know that we always believe it strongly enough to tell people, because I think quite often we keep it to ourselves. I know there have been times I keep it to myself. Have you ever had an experience you thought, man, that was a great opportunity to say something about Jesus, a great opportunity for me to invite someone to church and I didn't do it? I've had experiences like that. Have you ever had an experience like that? Can we say that out loud? Jesus is too good to keep to yourself? Say that with me. Go ahead. Say it again. Another time. Now let's personalize it, change it up. Jesus is too good to keep to myself. One more time. One more time. Do you think it could encourage you if every morning when you got up, you prayed and you said that out loud to yourself, Jesus is too good to keep to myself, and then you pray, God, today give me courage, and God, today give me opportunities to talk with people. What would it be like this coming year if every morning when you got out of bed, before you checked anything on your phone or iPad, you said that out loud to yourself. And you pray, God, today, give me an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. Give me an opportunity today to invite someone to church. Give me an opportunity to share my story and how he's blessed me. And then you pray, God, give me the courage, the boldness to do it when the opportunity comes. What would it be if you had that as a note that you just kept in your pocket in your car, and you kept reminding yourself over and over? Because let's be honest, I believe all of us believe it is true that Jesus is good. Even the most shy of us, we know he's good. But what if we became like my 5-year-old grandson, David, with his, thank you, Transformer toys. Y'all knew where I was trying to get at, didn't you? Hey, Paul, look at this, Paul. Look what it does. What if we could ask the Lord to so fill us with his spirit, so fill us with his joy, and so fill us with his love, that we just had to say, hey, he's good. Let me tell you about him. Come to church with me. Because it's true. Now, to help us next month, we're going to focus on fasting, and I'll teach about that next Sunday and say a little bit at the end before we dismiss. Because we're going to spend time fasting and praying for God to give us boldness and for us to talk about Jesus more. And I want to encourage you, as I said, every morning, get out of bed and say this to yourself and pray every morning, every day, God, give me an opportunity. Every day, God, give me the courage to speak when the opportunity comes, to see it, to make a commitment. You think that's a good theme for the year? You think that's a good theme? It's a convicting one, isn't it? But can we move past the conviction and let it be an inspiration? Because we don't always do that. We come short. I come short. But can it be an inspiration that we say, this year, God, what I'm praying for is that is so true of me. Next year, if Steve preached the same sermon, I wouldn't have to feel guilty because that is so. Can we let that be? You know, some of you are going to be setting New Year's goals and all of that. This needs to be what we're focused on. That we fast and we pray and we just grow in Jesus so much that this is so true of us. It's not just a slogan; it's reality. And more people start coming because they just hear. More and more lives are changed because they hear. And then in turn, they go out. What a great, great year it will be. So we're going to sing a song, an invitation, and you're invited to make your way to this altar and pray. For many, many in this room, we need to be praying about this. Make it a commitment that today's the day we start. Jamie and Steve Polk are going to be standing here as pastors. If you want to pray or talk with a pastor, if you want to join this church, you can come to one of them and say, I'd like to join First Baptist. If you are saved, but you haven't been baptized the way these two ladies were this morning, you can come say, I need to be baptized. And if you'd, most importantly of all, need to become a follower of Jesus and be saved yourself because you believe that Jesus is real, but you've never committed your life to him. You've never repented of your sin and asked him to forgive you and save you. Come to one of these pastors and say, today, I want to be saved because Jesus shed his blood on that cross to cleanse you of all your sin if you will receive his forgiveness, but you've got to ask for it. So come to one of these pastors and say, I want to be saved. And hundreds of us need to be on our face before God. And if the altar gets so full, kneel in the aisles, kneel along the side of the over here, and just pour out your heart. Listen, some of you have people you love and you're worried about them. But here's the other truth. If we take this seriously, God is going to bring into your life over and over and over again people that you would never think about, that he wants you to say a word to, that he wants you to invite to church, that he wants you to be a witness to. If we are willing, God will bring people to us. So let's pray about this. Would you stand to your feet? And as Hunter leads us in singing, the invitation is simple. You start walking. You come to the altar. You make your decisions right now. Let's sing.